Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show.
I know what RBIs are.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He is Jim DeShays.
I realize you spoke French.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll throw a little around. In French, the fastball is the rapide. The slider is the glissant. It was a good glissant right there.
Ooh, I like it. I like the glissant.
Jim DeShays is on Twitter, at Jim DeShays. You hear his cerebral work next to John Boog-Shambi on Marquee Network as he analyzes Cubs games on your television. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. JD, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Sun is shining, and we're going to play ball. How are you?
I'm good. It has not been fun watching a lot of Cubs baseball. That you see some good things, and then you watch a much better baseball team or some much better baseball teams showing the difference in quality. And even if you know what's happening, it has to be hard for you as a pitcher to see so many young pitchers getting these major league lessons.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I try to find, value in every game, and there's always, you know, a positive narrative or two that you kind of grab onto. Sometimes it is difficult when they just can't get anybody out, and they're going through a real rough patch right now, no doubt. I have empathy because I've been there. You know, I've struggled mightily in my career at times, and so I know what it likes to go out there and get knocked around and not really have any answers. The challenge, of course, is how do you get beyond it? You know, how do you come to the ballpark the next day with a fresh outlook and, just trying to find a way to win a game?
What is the best way to make a bad day matter positively in your experience? I mean, other than it's just like, it sucks, I have to get better and I've got to lick my wounds. What are the actual building blocks to turning those negatives into positives?
Yeah, I think self-analysis is really important. I think there are times you go out there and you're not very good, but you end up having good results. And there are other times you go out there and you get knocked around a little bit. But when you break down the video and the way you approached it, you go, you know what? I executed this. I executed that. I didn't catch a break here, made a mistake here and paid for it. So I think first off, you know, honesty, right? You got to be able to evaluate your performance and know what you did well and what you struggled with. And then, you know, just work real hard in your side sessions or, you know, it's a little tougher for bullpen guys because they don't get the side work that a starter does. They have to be on call just about every night. So they're not getting that opportunity to fine tune their game in a quote unquote practice session. It's in real time. For me, the biggest part of it is the mental part. When you're getting knocked around, to find a way to convince yourself that things are going to be okay. Cause you can get into some really dark spaces as a pitcher if you're getting hammered, with regularity. It can be very difficult to feel like you're going to be able to climb your way out of it. So I get, you know, that's where mental skills people come in and coaches and everybody else to give you something to hang on to. And sometimes it's a placebo. You know, sometimes you're having a side session as a starting pitcher and a pitching coach. Oh man, that's it right there. That's what you didn't do last time. And if you do it this time, you're going to be good. The way you're executing that slider or whatever it is. And you try to latch onto that and hopefully it works a little bit.
There's a word you've used twice already, and that is execute, where pitchers use that term, execute pitches, which is different to me than pitching. And I think some of this has come out of the whether it's driveline or this idea of max effort, and every next pitch is its own self-contained thing of win this next pitch, execute the pitch. And it takes 90 seconds, and there's the breathing and the signals and the gearing everything up, where sometimes, and you mentioned it, I think last night looking at Weathers, and some guys get it and throw it a little bit. And I love it, and it's not some sort of old school shaking my fist at a cloud like back in my day they worked faster. I do think there's something about just make the pitch, just throw it. Get out of your head a little bit. Know, have a plan, read the previous swing, know what you want to do. Not every single pitch has to be starting a whole new confrontational baseball world like it's the bottom of the ninth of Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can definitely overthink things. And I remember way back in my day, I had a teammate, Rex Hudler, in the minor leagues. You probably remember Hud.
And oh, Hud is a friend of the station, a good friend of Danny Parkins, going back to Kansas City.
Yeah, Hud, you know, super energy. You know, he's a unique individual. But I remember talking to him. I was having a really bad year, and I was getting knocked around, and things weren't going well. And we had lunch one day in St. Louis, and he said, "Man," he goes, "You got to be a predator out there, because right now you're the prey, because you're taking so much time between pitches. We could see you're in your head. You're overthinking things. You're just giving off this whole negative vibe, and it can affect the quality of what you're doing. It could, you know, it can affect the tempo of the confrontation with the hitter too. I mean, there's a real vibe that you give off out there if you're just taking too much time in between pitches, and you're pacing and you're shaking your head, and, you know, body language matters. And Hud was like, "Man, you need to be a predator." And I've hung on it. You know, I was at that point in my career where, you know, I didn't do a whole lot of really good pitching after that, but the message stuck, and it helped to a certain extent. And I think that's what you're getting at. Sometimes just be an athlete, be on the attack, be a little less thoughtful. The other part of the mental piece, though, I think is the, you know, one pitch at a time mentality. Is don't let the last bad pitch affect the next pitch, right? Don't just wallow in, you know, whatever has gone on up to that point in the game. Find a way to you know, I mentioned it last night with Caleb. I said, this is the point where you've got to basically come in relief for yourself. Like, I've been this bad pitcher for two innings, or, you know, an inning and two thirds. Can I mentally, you know, reset and find something? And it looked like he started to, and then with two outs, he hit that guy and things went south for him from that point. But he's just a kid, you know, and it's a learning process.
I know it sounds weird, but sometimes the golf analogy of, like, having a terrible front nine and just being like, look, that never happened. We're starting fresh. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to drink an Arnold Palmer, and I'm going to put on a little more sunscreen, and this is a new day. And I guess pitchers don't really get that chance anymore, because you do what you can do at max effort, and they take you out. So maybe this is one of those situations where mentally you build up that muscle, you build up that ability to sort of draw a line and say, that didn't happen, I'm going to be better now.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, something will happen. You know, your club will score a couple runs for you. Somebody will make a big play behind you in the field, and you'll kind of kick yourself. You know, these guys are busting it for me. They're trying to do everything they can do. I need to find a way to turn the page here. And again, become less thoughtful, more athletic, and just be on the attack. So that's a great analogy. The turn of in golf. The other, you know, the modern starter has a little bit of an issue too, in that he doesn't get the pitches deep into games as they used to. So it's difficult to turn that game where you give up three earnings in the first four innings into, you know, three earnings in six and two thirds, because you're likely coming out after five. So you just have to know that that's the case.
If you had to give a thumbnail scouting report on Killian from what you've seen so far, plus pitches, et cetera, the way it looks coming out of his hand, forget the stats for now, but just scout what you see.
Yeah, well, it's weird because, you know, game one, it looked really good, especially, you know, nine up, nine down to start. Fastball command was there. There was a lot of adrenaline. We saw some of that last night, too. He was pumping it up. We saw 97. But he was a different guy last night. So he's a hard guy. If you had scouted him twice, that first report you would have put in, the kid looked really good, had command of his fastball, needs to tighten up or polish up his secondary pitches a little bit. But last night, I think it was like, there was no fastball command, and it would be a hard report to write, because you know otherwise based on everything you've seen and heard about him. So you kind of treat last night as an outlier, second big league start, never really was able to settle in. But the fastball will play. The movement on the fastball, the sinker, looks really good to me. I think the breaking stuff we just haven't seen enough of to get a real feel for.
When you talk about the mental skills coaches involved, when you have a young staff, the pitching staff is going through some difficult times as a whole, and with all these veterans out, and now with Kyle Hendricks apparently needing some extra rest here and there, how do you make sure mentally it doesn't snowball? The guys, I mean, you don't want like a total bunker mentality of like, oh my God, who has to go out there next and face these bats, to make sure that you don't get bleed over between one guy's rough day and another guy's rough day.
Yeah, I think you try to protect them, right? And that's why some of these blowout games, you end up with a position player pitching. When you have 17 games in a row and you've used your bullpen a lot and you don't have a couple of length options out there, you're in a bit of a predicament because you might have to stick with a kid longer than you would like. I think that's what happened with Swarmer in New York when he gave up the 6 home runs. If you had a fully rested bullpen with a lot of options, you maybe make a move to the bullpen a little bit sooner to protect him a little bit. That's an ideal situation. Sometimes reality just doesn't, allow you to do that. And you have a lot of conversations. I mean, you have to talk to guys, kind of read their reaction, make sure they don't have that deer in the headlights. Oh my God, I have no business being here. I think a lot of young players, there's a little bit of an imposter syndrome where you're in the big leagues for the first time, or, you don't have much time here. And it's like, I don't know that I really belong. And until you have some success, you're not convinced. And I think that's part of the coaching staff's job to kind of, convince you that, your stuff is good enough. It'll play here if you perform, if you, command the baseball.
I've had a really interesting time listening to Ian Happ and Zach Short and Dakota Mekas on their Compound podcast over the last couple of years, talking through that, to have someone solidly in the major leagues, someone in the minor leagues who hasn't been in the majors, and then someone who has been in between in Zach Short, who's had some good and some bad. And they talk that stuff out, man. And it is really humanizing to hear them talk about those insecurities and hear them say, oh my God, look, that's Miguel Cabrera's locker. Should I go over to him? Should I say hi to him? Or the difference between a triple A road trip and looking at the meal money that you get in the majors, and hearing them actually talk about it has been fascinating. And I wish more baseball fans could understand how teams know about these insecurities, and it's okay for some of these guys to talk through that a little bit. And you hope that support system is there on a team, especially where the Cubs are, where it's so developmental at the moment.
Yeah, and that's, it helps when you have other guys, and that's obviously what the Cubs are going through right now. There's a bunch of guys that have come up from AAA. So when you walk into a big league clubhouse and you see a guy that you were teammates with just 2 weeks ago, or you spent a full season with an A-ball, that obviously creates a little more comfort. I'll tell you a story. When I first got called up to the Yankees, this is back in 1984. It was one of my first two call-ups, 84, 85. I was just hanging out down in the bullpen, and guys were getting up to get their throwing in. And, some of these names you'll remember, you may remember some of this stuff. Rigetti gets up to throw. Mm-hmm. He's, blowing it. Brian Fisher had a big arm. He's throwing 95 or whatever. Rod Scurry was throwing a curveball like I had never seen before. And I'm sitting there going, I have no business in this league. I've got zero chance. And then Bob Shirley got up to throw, and I was like, okay.
All right, I can do this.
I can do that. Yeah, I got a fighting chance here. But the first three guys are like, oh my God, I can't, I got nothing compared to this.
Boy, I hadn't thought about Brian Fisher in forever. I've been having so much fun with the Marquee Truck is doing with your old baseball cards, whether it's the hat or the stash or anything. So do you have the cards? Do you remember all of them? Because you had a bunch of them. You do an image search for Jim Deshaies' card. Do you remember like the time in spring training when they would do all of those stock photos? It's like, do your wind up hands over the head thing, or just, yeah. or the picture shows up, you don't even remember it.
Yeah, I think I have probably a version of every card that was ever made. Some of them, I've got like two batting gloves on doing a wind up. One I'm bunting. I mean, just, and some of those I think were my idea. Like the guy who wanted to do this to basic pitcher in the stretch. I was like, hey, let me get a bat and bunt. Some of them were taken here. There was a guy at Wrigley. They used to catch him when you passed through Wrigley, too, with snap card shots. So, yeah, that was and I think in that era, right, it seems like Donruss, Fleer, I mean, everybody, there was a lot of card companies, a lot of cards were being made back in the 80s and 90s. So there's a lot of them out there. Mother's Cookies, there was a card mm-hmm. from Mother's Cookies. Yeah, there's some fun stuff.
Yeah, you're not old enough, I think, to have either been on the Hostess box, because that was late 70s, where every box of Twinkies or box of Ho-Hos, there'd be three cards in the cardboard on the bottom that you'd have to cut out. And then there were the 3D cards that would be in Frosted Flakes. And somewhere I still have a 3D John Montefusco.
Oh, man. What's it worth? Have you looked into it?
I guarantee you it's worth nothing. Nothing yeah. whatsoever, but it's obviously important to me. Before we let you go, our guy Ian Happ, I mentioned his name, and he joins us on Mondays, and we've enjoyed having conversations with him. He is a two-win player already per Fangraphs. He is the number three most valuable left fielder in all of Major League Baseball, and he is the ninth most valuable outfielder in all of MLB right now. Ian Happ is only behind Judge, Betts, Trout, Alvarez, Tucker, Nimmo, Buxton, and Jeff McNeil. What a year he's having, and there's something that we call this performance, and it's an all-star.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what, you know, Boog, before the game last night, he goes, hey, I got something for you. I go, well, he goes, Ian Happ's an all-star. I go, really? And I said, he's having a good year, and he kind of gave me the same rundown you just did. He goes, look at the numbers, and started comparing him to the other outfielders in the league, and absolutely he is worthy at this point. You know, it's going to be tough because the Cubs, the year they're having, how many all-stars will they get? But if you cast a vote for Ian Happ, it's a well-deserved vote. And, I'm glad you brought that up, because Ian Happ made a play last night up against the wall in left field in the ninth inning with Frank Schwindel on the mound in that blowout game. You know, it's just a heck of a play, gives up the body, runs into the wall. Thinking, how many guys are going to do that? I mean, of all the things that went down in that game last night, that's probably the thing that stuck out in my head when I went home. Ian Happ making that play, you know, to save Frank Schwindel a possible run by making a play in the left field corner.
Yeah, especially because he spent the offseason trying to get better at defense actively. He walked us through it and talked about talking to John Jay and figuring out watching film and knowing how the metrics are calculated to help the numbers inform what he needed to work on. So, yeah, I mean, there's no ball in play that isn't sacred to a big league player at that point.
Yeah, and it passes the eye test. You talk about the metrics, but if you've watched him play all year out there, he's looked really good. Rossi talked about it coming out of spring training. He liked the way he was moving, the work in the batter's box, right-handed in particular, right? I mean, he's been mm-hmm. so much better from the right side of the plate. So, yeah, he's been one of the really good stories here.
What do you see for the Cubs coming up on the schedule here, a chance to break this streak?
Yeah, well, they got Musgrove going today. He's got an 0.33 ERA over his last four games. Got a $1.50 for the season. So, maybe, right? Because baseball is weird. Maybe this is the game they win, because it feels like a game they probably shouldn't win. And then they got the Braves, who haven't lost in 2 weeks, coming up over the weekend. So the matchups aren't favorable, but baseball is wacky, and hopefully they can get one. Because they're in that kind of a funk now where it just feels like you're never going to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Braves are, conversely, they're thinking, like, we're never going to lose. So, and then they go to Pittsburgh for four. So if things don't, change over the weekend, maybe they can get a little something done against the Pirates.
Yeah, that sounds a whole lot better than anything else. JD, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan, great to be with you.
That is Jim DeShays, the Cubs game analyst for the Marquee Network. Next up, you're going to hear a former Bears coach and a current Bears coach on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Did Kyler Gordon practice today?
He did not.
He did not. Why did he practice?
You know I'm not answering that. Come on.
We don't know you're not answering that. How do we know, Matt Eberflus? We don't know you yet. We don't know you like that. We're trying to figure you out and learn about your hits principle and everything that you do. So, yeah, a couple of years from now, I can understand, hell, you guys have been around the block a long time. You know football. I don't know why he sounds like Dave McGinnis. He just does. Dan Terry, you guys know football. So, no, we don't know that. But there are coaches we do know, and this is a system that we know, and we're certainly familiar with the work of Rod Marinelli and this 4-3 defense that is a one-gap defense. It is the same base as what Lovie Smith used. And, you know, they always say, well, it's not really that. We can do this and we can do that. We have other things that we can do. But bottom line, don't overthink it. They all come from the same tree. And this is Tony Dungy, it's Monty Kiffin, you know all the names. And Rod Marinelli is one of those OGs when it comes to this defense, and he knows Matt Eberflus well. Eberflus is a product of this, and he assured the Parkins and Spiegel show yesterday that Eberflus isn't just focused on one phase of the game.
You know, Matt, I think, has done a terrific job being a head coach. And, you know, overseeing everything. Because sometimes you get on one side of the ball, you never capture the morale of the whole team, the special teams, everything.
As you're watching the team practice, Rod, how often are your eyes going to the defensive line, your
a
specialty?
Lot. A lot. And, you know, I discipline myself. I love looking at the whole thing. And I love to see coaches teach. You know, he's got a really good teaching staff, and I just love that. You guys get in to teach, and your drills are right. There's a purpose. There's a why to every drill. And, you know, the hustle, the tempo, those are teachable things. Because you can do it one day, and then doesn't mean there's a guarantee it's going to happen the next day. The hustle, the effort. You got to teach the habits every day and the standards. In this system, there's no option. You got to do it. And then there's that freedom. The players can really play fast and go after the ball and takeaways and secure the ball, all the things that are necessary to win.
I get such a kick out of Rod Marinelli. I really do. He is, you know what he is? He's a genuine tough guy. No BS. Like, right out of the movies, he really is that guy. And there's a lot to him. And I know he's a Vietnam veteran. And I believe he was among the famed tunnel rats in Vietnam. And there's an amazing book about that, a wonderful book. I believe it's called The Tunnels at, is it Ku Kuche, I think. It's a great book about with photos and histories and interviews with some of the people who did that. But that is, I mean, absolutely harrowing stuff about fighting a very particular aspect of the Vietnam War. And Rod Marinelli was one of those dudes. So he's a really serious guy. And he loves talking football. And especially you start getting him to start scribbling stuff down and talking about scheme, and where maybe Matt Nagy didn't want to talk about scheme, but he did. And he specifically spoke about what this defense does to allow the defense some freedom.
It allows you. One thing is there's a more simplicity to it, but with simplicity, there's clarity for the player. Clarity then equals speed. And that's the whole thing is kind of driven on once that base and that foundation, then you start adding a little bit to it. And it allows these men to really go out and play and hustle where it's appreciated and valued. Those efforts, the qualities you look for.
Clarity equals speed. And that is, I know where to be and I'm going to get there. What I will say from my experience watching the defense when it's bad is that clarity equals speed equals making really bad mistakes really quickly. Because when you're wrong, when you shoot the wrong gap, when you're like, that's where I'm supposed to go, and here I am, and you're standing there, and you're like, wait, nobody's here, and that guy's over there. So the clarity part, if things are going really well, and if you have Derek Brooks or Warren Sapp or Tommy Harris or Brian Urlacher or Rondé Barber or Charles Tillman or any of these other people involved, name whoever you want, it looks great when you're right. But you got to make sure that these guys who are moving with that clarity and that understanding have those instincts. Because if somebody says, and part of that clarity too is sometimes the other guy's just faster than you are. And that was the difference when Brian Urlacher would be out and Hunter Hillenmeyer would be in. And they weren't doing anything differently. But somehow the guy that went from all the way back here to all the way up here isn't getting there quite as quickly, even if he knows, even if the clarity is there. Sometimes the old legs, those have to work too. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Always good to hear from Rod Marinelli too. And if you have been following, when we did the show trip to go to Circa in Las Vegas, one of my wife's friends, who is a counterpart of hers in her industry in Las Vegas, mentioned specifically, said, what's the best Italian restaurant in Las Vegas? And she said, well, she goes, get out of the city. It's in the suburbs and it's called La Strega. So we took an Uber ride. I got a half an hour Uber ride up into the mountains, and there we found this, you know, unassuming, lovely little place called La Strega. And I looked at it and I saw that the chef is Gina Marinelli, and okay, you know, because it's not an uncommon name. And then I saw her, and she looks exactly like her dad. And then I looked it up on my phone, like, oh yeah, no, this is Rod Marinelli's daughter. And and she came over to the table and we talked and she spent a lot of time with us, and her food is so good. It is, there was a pasta on that menu, and I'm trying to remember, I should probably look it up. It is, and we've eaten, my wife and I've had pastas across Italy and in wonderful restaurants. We've been lucky enough and privileged enough to eat well. And this was an all-time pasta that we've had. It is let me look it up. It is calamari rigatti arrabbiata. It's a squid ink pasta, and rigatti pasta it's a homemade pasta, and it's literally just snipped up with a scissors into irregular shapes. And it's squid ink in the pasta with perfectly cooked calamari served with fresh mint and fiery Calabrian pepper. And it is absolutely out of this world. It's like you want to cry. It's so good. So Danny Parkins yesterday was interested enough, apparently, or at least I'm glad he remembered, that on the show yesterday, they asked Rod Marinelli about his daughter's restaurant. And this is the coachiest, this is the football coachiest thing you will ever hear as what could pass as restaurant criticism.
One of our colleagues and friends here at the radio station, when we had a station trip to Vegas recently, went to your daughter's restaurant, went to Las Vegas.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Saw Gina, said it was amazing.
Oh, she's a work ethic, simple, fast, better be moving. And with the one thing, she always tells me, she goes, Dad, you had a game once a week. I got game day every night. And I can't be wrong. I can't, there's no room for a loss. And so, no, but football really impacted both of my daughters.
Yeah, it sounds like coaches' daughters. That's good stuff.
Should we go ahead and guess there's no loafing in that kitchen? If you're working for Gina, no loafs?
There better not be. I mean, she defines it. She cuts it down. What is a loaf and what are standards? She's got a beautiful, this is a, I think you'll enjoy this. If you don't mind me, it'd take about a minute. But there was an old coach, baseball coach at Cal Poly Pomona, can't remember the name now, way back, had a baseball clinic. And, God, this was powerful. He walked up in the clinic and he had a baseball plate around his neck on the chain. And everybody's like, well, what the heck is this? Anyway, and then somebody asked him. And I can't, but the plate, the width of the plate is 17 or 18 inches. So he asked a little league team, what's the width of your plate? 18 inches. What's high school? 18 inches. What is college? 18. Everybody had 18 inches. And he said, what I see the issue is, and a guy in Major League Baseball, if he doesn't hit the 18 inches, he's gone. But somehow, some way, as kids come up, people start expanding the plate for them as a pitcher. They're widening the plate. They're widening the standards. And, you know, this guy's really good. Well, maybe he missed a class. Oh, maybe he had a bad day. Excuses for him. And I told her that story. That's how you should learn more. Everybody knows the standard of the plate. So she took her home plate, and she had everybody sign their name to it after she explained what the 18 inches is. And you get outside the plate, then you got to visit with her. So you set standards in a visual way. But the thing we can't do is expand the plate for people.
I don't get it, but it's fun. I've listened to that multiple times, and I still kind of don't quite understand it. There are standards, but like her food is incredibly wildly creative, and there may be standards to certain things, but there's also the art, the visual art of some of this stuff. You got to see it to believe it, and I know we can talk all we want about the professional standards of a kitchen and a tight ship and all of that, and that is absolutely true. But when that stuff comes out, and the fact that you don't know what ingredients you're going to get fresh from one day to the next, and that everybody who will go there multiple times is always expecting to be surprised and wowed, and sometimes even look at a menu, and if it's a place you love and a chef you love, you say, hey, whatever you think is great, surprise me, and just start bringing stuff. So it's interesting to hear this sort of the rigidity of football coaching and baseball coaching applied to the culinary experience. I absolutely got a kick out of that. And while we're talking Bears, there's a little bit of news here that is coming from Mark Grody. He is reporting Kyler Gordon missed practice for the Bears today. He says that's three in a row, not been told why. Robert Quinn, still not here either. He says his choice. So that's the latest news from Hallis Hall. And we get back. We were joking because the sound that we heard coming out was Matt Eberflus. I can't tell you. You know I can't tell you why our top pick's missing practice. Okay, at some point, we got to know now. We got to hear something. If you can't tell us, maybe Ryan Poles can, or you got to tell us why you can't tell us. Why is Kyler Gordon missing practice? And the fact that they keep talking around it and saying things like, well, he's here, you know, he's here, he's doing great, he's out at practice. All right, let's one missed practice. All right, two. This is three in a row. Is he hurt? And why are there things they're saying that they can't say? At some point, we need to have somebody call his agent and to see if there's anything to be discovered in that respect. But there's something going on here. There's something up with Kyler Gordon. The Robert Quinn thing, I get, and I think the sooner they can get a move on, whatever that deal is going to be end up being the better thing, as the Bears are looking there's a lot of low draft picks out there on that offensive line too, aren't there? Man, like, you're talking about day three guys. How many playoff teams have multiple day three drafted offensive linemen on the same line? That would be a question for someone who's got more facility with some of the informational websites than I do. That if looking at overall, like, aggregate draft number, what is a threshold that's too high? What's too many guys of low draft pedigree for you to be successful?
On a rookie deal, too.
Yeah. Like, early in their careers. Early enough in a career, how many starting NFL offensive lines have had that many day three guys? My guess is, my gut tells me not good.
My gut tells me it couldn't bite you in the butt with your quarterback developing or anything.
Yeah, but isn't that probably a bad thing to have that many? Because now, so this was Dan Wiederer. Is Wiederer in the Tribune? It's Biggs, excuse me. Brad Biggs noted in the Tribune that the first team offensive line had three day three rookies because Cody Whitehair had an excused absence. Lucas Patrick was limited to individual drills. I wonder why. Braxton Jones was at left tackle, Zach Thomas at left guard, and Doug Kramer at center. Sam Mustipher at right guard, Larry Borum at right tackle. Dakota Dozier was not spotted. He left Tuesday's practice on the cart. Yeah, keep an eye on this one. And obviously we'll learn more about the Bears later in the day. When we come back, we had a bad, wrong answer on Jeopardy. Boo-hoo-hoo. That's next.
Knights 400.
To honor his father, this star here was knighted in his birth name. So he's Sir Morris Micklewhite. Mazin.
Was Mick Jagger?
No. Lisa.
Who is Michael Caine?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, I know, somewhere, we all think of Alex Trebek. Because to know what the look on his face would have been, you know, Mayim Bialik is following in the footsteps there.
Fight Club. R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
Wait. Yeah, wait.
The pause gets me every time.
Yes. It is the comic length of that pause, of how long it takes to realize. Because we all do it. You host a talk show. I mean, we all do it. We say something like, "Wait, what did I say? Did I really say what was that? Did I say this when I meant that?" It happens all. Usually, texters like, "You suck. You said the wrong word. You dummy. I'm listening to something else because you suck." All right, fine. Yeah, but Maurice Micklewhite is indeed Michael Caine. What you have to say is Michael Caine. If you've seen the movie The Trip, so good. I'm sure you've seen it. It's Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, and they're on a driving trip, and they eat meals, and they do shtick, and they both do fantastic Michael Caine impersonations, and they do these dueling Michael Caine impersonations, and they're criticizing each other's, and it's just hearing two really skilled comics talking about, it's not Michael Caine, you say it like this. Mick Jagger, do you know what his birth name was, anybody? He was not born. No. He was not born Maurice Micklewhite. Mick Jagger was born. Anyone? Anybody? Michael Jagger. Michael Mick Jagger. That's his actual name. And I thought, if the point being, this is maybe, I would say Mick Jagger, no exaggeration, has to be at this point, at nearing 79 years old in July. No exaggeration, one of the most famous people alive on the planet Earth, right? Has to be. One of the most internationally famous living human beings. If he had a real name, quote-unquote, we would know it by now. we would be aware of, like, you know, Mick Jagger's real name is Lawrence Berkowitz or whatever, like everybody else. But no, that was pretty special. Anyway, thank yous. Thanks to our producers today, Rick Camp, Mike Rankin, Brandon Fryer, helping out the guys working on the video. I don't even think I did the proper to the show. I think we never did them. I just realized that. Who gives a crap? It was Connor O'Donnell and Evan Thomas. I guess technically there is something that I have to fulfill here by saying that we've been broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Texas Zone was brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And the Score listener line was powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit betql.com. I think we're good on that as far as the mandatories. Thanks to our guests today, Ricky O'Donnell and Jim DeShays. Both excellent. Tomorrow I am off to take my kid to a baseball tournament. We're going to get destroyed, but that's okay. It's part of it. That's why I was asking Jim DeShays all those questions. Because I'm going to go back and listen to it and take notes for how to deal with a pitcher stopping and looking up over his head all day. And who else do we think? I think that's it. Mark Grody is in. What was that, Rick?
Or Ricky Mike? O'Donnell and Jim DeShays.
Yeah, that's
Jim
it.
That's it.
I think that's it. We said it. We're good. Lawrence Holmes is coming up. He's got Steve Stone. I'll talk to you on Monday. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.